Madame Boysai, Lessons for the Life special edition. I'm back from yeshiva, so why not do an extra special one? I also feel bad because I gave a Lessons from the Life this week just by myself, and I mistakenly quoted a number of times the wrong name. I called him Rabbi Yisrael Grossman, and that's not true. It's Rabbi Goldstein, and I feel really bad about that. So I wanted to write that wrong by speaking about a number of different things. I'm going to try to hit on Parsha, Yom HaShoah today. What else do we say? Sviras Omer, the Kal V'Revi, the massacre, the potential what could have been real massacre in the Chabad in Poway in San Diego, and maybe some other great things. But most importantly, I think a message I hope you'll take with you, especially in light of the fact that we only have a very few days left in your year. As always, I think it's important, especially today, that we think about the great Kedoshim that died al Kiddush Hashem. And I think about this a lot because I remember 6 months ago, right? So 6 months in a week since the massacre in Pittsburgh. And there were a lot of incorrect, ill-informed people, some of them who called themselves rabbis, who said, well, how can you call them Kedoshim? Because, you know, it wasn't a religious, really religious service. It wasn't an Orthodox synagogue. And many, thank God, great rabbis shot them down very, very quickly. And most notably, we speak about all of the people who died in the Holocaust today as we remember it, and maybe for many of you this has been your first experience of the siren. You were here, but if you're outside, and I dafka have my minhag is always just to go outside, it's very, very powerful. And I think for me at least, this year was specifically powerful because I'm thinking a lot about the rise of anti-Semitism. The Kal V'Revi, which we'll mention, is also on my mind, someone who survived the Holocaust and really lived al Kiddush Hashem. Is very powerful. And so we have to think about these great Kedoshim who died al Kiddush Hashem, and the opposite of that. Many of the pictures that you see probably today, and I think it's important to spend the day, I think it's an amazing thing that in the state of Israel, even if you were flying or you were coming back, El Al does not show any movies, only Holocaust-related movies, no music. No music station is allowed to play music today. They don't want to play music today. All the shops, stores closed early in commemoration of Yom HaShoah. And everybody's sitting there and thinking about this. And it's a very, very important thing. So people do it through Facebook. There's a great, as you guys probably saw already, the Instagram commemorating it as well. So I just want to mention it and for us to think about it. We also daven for the continued cholim. As I said about the pictures, we see a lot of pictures of the contrast. One of them that I had never seen before has a picture of a Nazi soldier kicking a Jew, and it says, "You better never kick us, because if you do," and then it has that, maybe not the same, but it has a Holocaust survivor in front of a dozen Magavnikim that are standing there, and the next line is, "Because we're going to kick you back." So Baruch Hashem, we have Medinas Yisrael, but we have to think about the soldiers. The Ribbono Shel Olam should continue to protect them, and especially those soldiers, unfortunately, who we don't, and next week we'll concentrate more on them. We have to think about those that are not well, those that have been hurt in terrorist attacks, especially the Tanal Ilan ben Shana Tzipora, and all the Cholim of Yisrael, specifically Beila Basar Esther Peril. The Ribbono Shel Olam should send all the Cholim, especially on this day of Melitz Yosher, So our parsha is probably the most famous part of our parsha by far. Is everybody likes to talk about now? I just want to remind you, we're on a bit of a time delay for some of you. Those of you that decided to go home for the holiday of Passover to see your parents, wonderful, very nice thing. You have a little bit of a parsha problem because you're in Achrei Mos this week. And we are in Kedoshim. So don't worry, your yeshiva will make it up. In this thing on Shabbos called Mincha, they will probably be reading the entire parsha. Something along those lines. I'm not sure. Big Shiloh, what exactly you do. In 2 weeks from now, I will be in the United States of America attending the NCSY summer program Shabbaton as the caterer. And they also there have the opposite problem. We'll be laying the wrong parsha. So what do you do? They'll be laying Emor there. And so that Mincha, they have a special minyan for Israelis where they lay in the entire parsha. So we don't catch up for quite some time. But if we're thinking about Sviras Omer, it's the same thing that's on our mind. And that is the thoughts of V'hafta Re'echa Kamocha. A very, if I may call it, strange part of Sviras Omer is that it's also an Avelus. Seeing from many of your faces, I guess maybe not so much, many people don't shave during this time of the year to commemorate the death of the students of Rabbi Akiva, 24,000. And many have asked the simple question, what exactly did they do wrong? So in my lessons from the Lev this week, I discussed an idea from Rav Asher Weiss about the fact that they were the students of Rabbi Akiva who represented, as we know, the famous Klal Gadol B'Torah Rashi comments, Rabbi Akiva's Klal Gadol B'Torah is V'hafta Re'echa Kamocha. That's the way he lived his life, even though he might have said that after his students passed away. But that's how he lived his life. Rabbi Akiva's famous Pirkei Avos, which is something you guys should be concentrating on. Every Shabbos, we do one of the Parakim of Pirkei Avos to help us in this time. So we should think about this fact of Shalom Nogod Kavod Bazeh. And Dafka was the students of Rabbi Akiva. They didn't deserve to die. You don't die because you're not nice to your friends. But the answer was, when you don't get your Rebbe, when you don't understand that Rabbi Akiva is the one that said that we are created B'Tselem Elokim Nivra Adam, and if you don't see that, the cover of your friend, that's a big problem. Rabbi Abraham Tursky is quoted as just a good line where he says that he sees a person eating fish and the guy's devouring the fish. And he said, I can't relate to this because I don't like fish. But he says to him, what's going on, man? He goes, oh, I love fish. I love fish. He goes, you don't actually love fish. You like the feeling you get after you eat the fish. Because if you love fish, you wouldn't have taken him out of the water and beat him up and killed him and then fried him and boiled him and all that. Of course not, right? So we have to define what is true love. But Rav Shimshon Pinchas, I think, asked this integral question. I think this is a great question. It's something for us to think about. And it reminded me when I read this Maimer of Rav Pinchas about something that I heard. I had the schus, I really mean the schus, of being here in Eretz Yisrael during those very difficult 18 days when the three boys were kidnapped. And specifically, it was, you know, that day that it was revealed. So there was no question in my mind that I wanted to attend the Levaya. So I went to the Levaya with Baruch Hashem, thousands and thousands of people. As usual, not well planned, and it was just crazy. Getting there and getting out, it took hours and hours to figure out how to get out of there, how to find transportation, but it was a very, very moving. And on our way there, I was watching the other, each of them had their own funerals. So not enough, Tully Frankel's funeral, so they had, I hope my history is correct here, if I remember correctly, but then again, I pronounced somebody's name wrong, so I don't know. But they, I believe it was Yair Lapid who spoke. So Yair Lapid is was sworn in again to be part of the right. So now he's one of the heads of Kachol Levan, the 21st Knesset, and he is part of Kachol Levan together with my neighbor Omer Yankelevich, somebody from lives a block away, is in the Knesset this year. Very, very interesting. And in any case, so together with Benny Gantz. So he is well known, whether it's true or not, is hard to say, that he's not the biggest fans of the Haredim, and maybe not religious. His father was a well-known Knesset member, was very anti-religious. And I think Dafka, the line I'm about to say, coming from him, was uniquely special. And I'm going to give you the backstory, which I thought was quite interesting as well. So I'm watching this as I'm traveling to the larger Levaya that they're going to have. They have, the private Levayas. And he gets up and he says the following thing. And you have to understand, this is somebody who's very clearly does not espouse to be religious. He quotes the Arizal. And he says that the Ari tells us, right, this is an amazing part of Eretz Yisrael, right, where you could just get schooled by someone who, and he says the following. The Arizal says that before you even daven in the morning, or possibly at a certain spot, but he didn't say this, but you should say the words, Hini Mekabel Alai, the mitzvah, I'll just write exactly what he says. So it says that in the name of the Arizal, called him Sha'adam Yasod Tfilato Bebet Knesset. Or very specifically, Mifuresh and Ha'akedah Ve'ailach, Tzarech She'ikabel. You can't say the Akedah before you say the following line. She'ikabel alav mitzvos ve'haf l'recha kamocha. Ve'yachul lahav kol echa b'nei Yisrael b'nafshav. Right? Ki alidei zeh tulas tefilaso kolelas min tefila. It's part of what tefila is. V'toicho la'alois l'malo l'malo l'aso spring. If you want your tefilas to go up to Shemayim, again, this is not what he said. He just said the simple line, before davening, we have to say v'hafla v'echa kamocha and explain what that 18 days meant. And that we kind of put all of our troubles aside, similar to the Holocaust. There were no, you know, nobody went up to him and said, oh, you're a chassid? Everybody was equal. It was Jews that they wanted to kill, as we saw, unfortunately, reap its ugly eye just a few days ago. And says, at that point, Yair Lapid, that's something that we saw. But why do we have to dafka see this in times of sorrow? Why can't we just love the Zulat, every single Jew, for who they are? So now, I was very moved by that. And now I get to the Levaya. Again, Kedarka Bakodesh in Eretz Yisrael. This was not the major cemetery. Next week, you'll go to Har Herzl. This was just a cemetery in Modi'in. So they weren't well prepared, as I said to you. So many people decided this is only an Israel thing. We're going to sit in very interesting places. So they had actually put a lot of, for example, porta-potties. So people started sitting on top of the porta-potties so they could see. And then the porta-potties fell in. The roof is just... It was quite interesting. Every few minutes you heard somebody fall in. But. So then comes the chief rabbi of Israel. And the chief rabbi comes up and he says... If I'm not mistaken, it was Rav Lau, and Rav Lau says the following thing. The Arizal says, before you daven, and I'm like, yo, that's so Yair Lapid an hour ago. Like, so it was so interesting to me that the chief rabbi of Israel, the ultimate representation of what is orthodoxy, and the person who won so from both got it. And they both understood that ultimately, we are where we are today because we don't get along with our friend. And there's probably no better organization in the entire world that represents the bringing back of V'haft L'Recha Kamocha than Chabad. Open synagogue that is non-judgmental, which is so unique and important. You're only coming for Yisker. You're coming only at 11:30, or even the fact that they drove there. Obviously, that's not something they tell them to do. But at least you're coming to shul. You're doing one mitzvah. I mean, it's hard to imagine. And you know, I'm sure some of you have been. I certainly, as a business person, have been in situations where I've been in the middle of nowhere, and there's been a Chabad house, or a Chabad has helped me with food. They define that. But comes along with Shimshon Pinchas, and we'll get to this idea in a moment. What I have to say about the massacre in Poway, but and he says a fundamental question. I can't believe I never thought of. So I actually wrote in my sitter, which I recommend everybody here does. Write in your sitter this line somewhere in davening before davening starts. Right, so you'll remember. I put it right next to my hanachas tefillin. Right, and I write Arizal v'hatarech kamocha. Every day you have to make a statement. I'm gonna try to do better than I did yesterday and like people. Right. So yes, a simple question. What does this have anything to do with tefillah? It's such a pushed question Rav Pinchas asks. I never thought of it, and he's such a good question. What does me loving somebody else have anything to do with me going to davening in the morning? It's cute. It's nice. Oh, maybe it's just one of those Arizal things. Now, it's true from the words that I just said, it will allow your tefillahs to go up to Shemayim and make real fruit. Okay, but what does it mean? So he says, "Hare lanu shechovas kiyum mitzvah after recha kamocha lifnei tefila enu rak begeder etz a tova ba'alma." It's not just a good idea. Ella he chelak mi etzim suges tefila. It's part and parcel of tefila. Interesting. Ki al deizeh, as we just said, your tefilas are makabel. What does one thing have to do with the other? So he says like this. First of all, he quotes the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva. Kama ma'alos ha-tshuva. Emesh hi. Moved on the Hashem. Yisrael shenemar. Avonoseichem hayum avdilim b'neichem l'bein elokeichem. When we sin, we create a gap, a vacuum between us and the Rabbanu Shalom. And when we're mechaper that sin, we become closer. That's what tshuva is about, returning. According to the Rambam, he speaks about the tefillah she'ola. It means, and this is an important idea for you guys, ein shum tefillah ba'olam she'eino olam. There's no time that you daven, and davening doesn't just mean three times a day, right? It means right before you have a test, and you look up to God and say, I need your help. That's tefillah. We just said it to Seder. What does it say? Vanitzak el Hashem Elokeinu, vayishma Hashem es koleinu. The Mefarshim tell us, vanitzak wasn't, they said, nu, mincha. No. You know what mitzak meant? They were working, and they were slaves, and they were being beaten, and you know what they did? They went, oy. That's vanitzak. What did they do, though? They looked up to Shemaim and said, you're the only one. Eich sof kol sof, yishanu matzav shebo. Where our tefillah comes in front of us. And sometimes we don't allow it to go up to Shemayim. Can you understand, says Rav Pinkus, your tefillah is about to go up to the Kisei HaKavod, to the Holy of Holies. The Gemara in Tanis on Daf Chaf, says that tefillah b'tzibur yeshana haftacha. If you daven with a minyan, you have a promise. Hein el kavir lo yimas. The Rabbanu Shalom will not shy away from that tefillah. Kasher mitpalim yachad. When you daven together with somebody else in matzibur, tefillas kol tzibur yachdav. It's everybody in the tzibur together that creates a shlemus. Haftachanu HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God promised us that your tefillah will not be an abomination, even if you are an abomination. Right? Imagine walking into tefillah, and the Rabbanu Shalom's actually there, however you could describe that, kiviyachon. And you walk in, he's like, are you kidding me? You are here now to daven to me? I know what you just did 10 minutes ago in your room. Are you kidding me? I know who you are. You didn't do tshuva for that. You don't care. You're here now. Because Rashi says, "Bitzibor on this Gemara, it's filasam nishmes ve'afal pisha ein lev kulam shalem." Even though you don't have a full heart when you're davening, and some of you are like, "Whatever. I'm just doing this because it's the end of the year. I might as well try." He quotes a pasuk because he says that the pasuk that he quotes. Uyaftuhu b'fihem b'dvrayim, lashon rabim, because it's not just you. Now you've done something really cool. You've taken your tefillah, and now you combined it with the guy next to you, and the guy in back of you, and the guy in front of you, and all those tefillah create an orchestra, if you will, of tefillah, which Rav Soloveitchik says that's what tefillah is. Because if you're a real lover of classical music, let's say, for example, you can go to a concert and go, that is so weird. You hear that? And the guy next to you is like, no. He goes, the guy that's playing the violin, there's something wrong with one of his chords. I can hear it. Or, somebody didn't show up today. I don't hear the cymbal guy. That's my favorite guy. Bing, you know, that's what I would do. But everybody has their tafkid, says Rav Soloveitchik. That's tefillah. You got the guy sitting in the back, he seems like the worst guy in the whole yeshiva. But you know what he has that's amazing? He's a chesed guy. Or he was the guy who fought with his parents and said, I don't want to come home for Pesach. And the parents said, but you don't know how much it will mean to us. And he says, you know what? Let bygones be bygones. I want to do kibbut avim and go home, even though I want to stay here. He's got something you don't have. And now we can understand the chiddush of the Arizal. because the tefillah of tzibur equals what? The hatharecha kamocha. Because I need the tzibur. I need my who? Chaverim. That's the shaychus of it. But I have to understand and believe that the guy next to me has something that I don't have. Oh, that's so hard. That's so hard. And I don't want to go and belabor the point, but Rav Pinchas explains that the yisod tefillah is the love of the zulat of any person is the yisod of Amunah. Amunah is by far our most difficult of midos to have. To believe in God blindly. To believe that there's such a thing that works called tefillah that I will go to because I understand. But he says even more is that I believe that the person sitting next to me has a quality I don't have, and the fact that he's here, wow, that's going to help me out. Because most of us walk around and say, look at this guy. At least I'm not in his situation. What does he have that I don't have? We miss that. We have kepedas on other people. Why is he like this? Oh, I'm not going to forget that guy. That guy never gave me a present in my bar mitzvah. You're 65 years old. What do you never give me a present? Stop it. That person, oh, I'll never forget. When I was going out with my girlfriend that one time, even though I never married this girl, oh, he was the one who said that she was ugly. I'll never forget that. Who cares? And by the way, it makes sense that this is done dafka before Akedas Yitzchak. Because there's nothing more remarkable than offering yourself to the Bono Shalom. And says Rav Pinchas, that is the yesod over here. Tefillah va'avas hazulat is one thing. It's called Amunah. I daven and I say, God, I have complete faith that you will listen to my tefillos. Guys, remember, listening and answering are two different things. Or I should say, listening and answering the way you want it to be answered are two different things. God listens, but he makes decisions. And he moves tefillos to other places. That tefillah really was great, but it's not going to be for you. Or you think this job is good for you and you're begging God to get the job. This job is not going to be good for you in the end. So I'm going to get you a better job that you might think is a worse job in the beginning, and then later on be like, wow. Imagine if I took that job that many years ago. Wow, that would have been crazy. This is a really not good example, but I'll give you the example anyway of how Hashem works, in my opinion, in mysterious ways. But the question is, do you see it like this? I get to my office yesterday, and I need to find an important email. So I use my friend Microsoft, and I typed in the word. I can't find the email. I'm going crazy. I can't find it. I'm going through emails. And I just happen to be, as I'm going through the email, I see an email that I actually sent myself about registering the company that I have, registering it. It has to be registered every year. And I had put it off for a few months because I wasn't sure what my situation would be with taxes this year, because now I've lived here for 10 years, so there's a different tax situation. And I'm like, shoot, I got to do this. You know what? I'm not procrastinating. I'm just going to do it right now. And I literally do it right then, and I click the button, and the button says, anyone who registers their company after May 1st has to pay a $400 late fee. And I'm like, I have no idea. I look on the bottom right screen, and it says May 1st, and I'm like, what's the halacha? And then the thing came up and I didn't have the $400 charge. And I'm like, this is the weirdest story. I was so mad that I couldn't find this email. But from not finding the email, I just saved myself $400. Because I would have probably done it in like 4 weeks from now and paid this $400 fake old fine for, you know. That's your bonus show. I'm working in different ways. You're mad at him. God, why can't I find this email? And you find another email that just saved you $400. There are some people in the world who signify this to the greatest level ever. And they literally look at people always b'sefer panim yafos. And this is part of this idea, this connection between tefillah and v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha is about emunah. Somebody came up to me this week and said to me, this week, like a few days ago, and he made a comment to me. He was davening here in the yeshiva. He's not somebody from our yeshiva. And he said, you know, can I give you mussar? I said, me who? Why me? He said, because you're a Rebbe in the yeshiva. I said, well, not really, but okay, fine. So he said, you got to speak to all your rabbeim and tell the guys that if they're on the phone or they're talking, that's affecting my tefillah. I said, oh, because they're making noises? No. Because of what we just said. You see, if you really believe that the guy next to you, right, that if he's on his phone, he's hurting me. Because my tefillah that I asked for now is not going up to the right place. Because he, right, and the same way, by the way, if you're on your phone, you're affecting other people. Not because they hear you on the phone or anything like that. But because you now are not going to say amen because it's not important to you. That shows that you don't care about the other person. And it shows something, a chisor in yourself, that you don't believe in yourself. Who sees the good in everyone? Chabad. No question. And if there's anyone who I've met, and I mean this, who's a better mouthpiece for that, it's this rabbi. Rabbi Goldstein, correct name now. I'll just tell you something that happened 2 days ago. I heard a shiur from one of my favorite speakers, Rabbi Y.Y. Jacobson. And he said that he spoke to Rabbi Goldstein. They're friendly. And he said to him, I'm speaking about this incident. Tell me something. He said, have you come to, like, what do you, your finger got shot off. Like, what do you think about this? Like, are you taking care of yourself? He goes, are you kidding me? Do you think I'm thinking about myself? I got a whole shul I have to think about. He was about there. He was at the Levaya at that point. He said, I'm at the Levaya. I'm about to bury this Kaddish, this Lori K. If you've heard the stories, Rabbi Isai. I'm not even thinking about myself. I'm thinking about the other people. At the Levaya, if you didn't hear it, I recommend you go find it. Just to hear Rabbi Grossman, Rabbi Goldstein, what he had to say. If I understood it correctly, and I think I did, so his father, of blessed memory, was actually very close with the K family, and he says his father composed the song, "Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is truly everywhere." I assume it's the version that we all know, up, up, down, down, right, left, on our right. I thought Uncle Moshe composed it, but apparently not. And he says a famous song that my father, you know, up, up, down, down. And he says it, and when my grandchildren, when I sing the song to them, guess what? I won't be able to do up, up, down, down because I don't have a finger. And Mirtz Hashem, his other finger should stay, but it's a very tricky state right now. My index finger is the finger that you point. It's very interesting, just panthetically, he didn't say this, I'm about to say this. The Gemara tells us, I think we just quoted the Gemara in Tanis. The last Gemara in Tanis, I think, if I'm not mistaken, says that what's going to happen at the end of days, God is going to make a machol latzadikim. What's a machol? Circle. Mefarshim explain why dafka a circle. Because when Mashiach comes, we're all going to think, you know who Mashiach is going to be. Mashiach is going to have a black hat. And the religious Zionist is like, no, he's not going to have a black hat. He's going to have a big kippah suga. And the Sephardi guy's like, no, he's not. He's going to have one of those fezes, you know. That everybody's, and he's going to be closer to me because he's going to dive in my nose. Like, no. We make a circle so that we're all equidistant. And then it says that we point be'etzbo. Says the Ben Ish Chai something gorgeous. You know which finger we point to him with? The finger that we use, the pointy finger. He says, you know what that finger is? That finger is very unique. Mirtz Hashem, one day you'll learn about that finger because that's the finger that you're going to place the ring on your wife. Isn't that strange? Why don't you place it on the finger she's actually going to wear it on the ring finger? Why the pointy finger? Says the Ben Ish Chai in his commentary on Tanis Ben Yehuda, says, because you're making a big statement here. What are you correcting? You're correcting what needs to be corrected. There's no greater love than the love of a husband and a wife. Right? And we say, oh, Yishama bi'arehidu l'chutz, right? You're building Yerushalayim when we get married. It's one of the greatest simchas. And that finger, Hine Elokeinu Zeh, I see God. It's like Mamad Harsina, the Gemara says. He said, now everybody has my finger. That finger was blown off so that you could know that when you say that God is here, that finger, that I, HaKiddush Hashem, was blown off for me. That's the Holocaust. That's what we remember today, Rabbi Yisrael. He spoke a little bit. The Kal Rebbe. He's 96 years old. Probably one of the most unique Hasidic Rebbes that are around. Besides the way that he looked, and you waste so much time on your phones, I recommend you don't waste your time and look it up. Kal Rebbe, he had no beard. Only Hasidic Rebbes can grow a beard. It's because he was one of Mengele's experiments. He also couldn't have children because of that. And if I'm not mistaken, again, I told you I have a bad memory, but I think when I was a Madrich on Enzius Vaikolo, doesn't tell me if this makes sense, but I think we visited the Kalva Rebbe. I think I remember that. It's very possible, right? And he had one thing more than ever. Anybody ever said, you just say Kalva Rebbe, you say one thing, Shema Yisrael. It's the song. He said it over and over again. And he told the story over. What a powerful story. Died the same day as this horrible tragedy in Chabad. A survivor of the Holocaust. He said that he would wake up many mornings, not just one morning. And the Nazi soldier would have a smile on his face and he said, I would love to give you bread, but I don't have enough for everyone. So I'm going to kill 10 of you. And then you'll get your bread. Can you imagine waking up in the morning like this? We can't imagine that. And then he said the day came when they were liberating. And what the Nazis often did, they wanted to burn all the evidence. And unfortunately, the evidence were human beings. So they started burning the barracks of people. And people were too frail and ill to do anything about it. And he said, I made a haftacha to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And I screamed to him and I said, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And only the way that he could say it. He said, if you let me live, I will keep this tradition alive, this Shema Yisrael. And he did amazing things for me even to start to explain how he took care of the needy. He was interviewed a number of years ago. It was a moving interview. And they said, do you know that there are Haredim out there who protest or are being pushed by soldiers and they call them Nazis? And he said, I don't believe that. It can't be. It can't be. It can't be a Jew would be like that. He imbued this this line of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. The God of Israel is one. Hashem could do anything. But you know when he wants to do anything? Is when we're together. When I can look at another person and say, okay, he's not exactly like me, but I'm sure he's got some great midos. I'm sure he's got something about him that's amazing. And my tefillah, you know why it's important that I'm going to go to Minyan today? I'll tell you why it's important I go to Minyan today. It's important that I go to Minyan today because if I go to Minyan today, oh my God, you guys have no idea what that's going to mean for other people. It's about thinking about other people. That's what didn't happen during the time of Sfiras Omer. Shalunogu kavod zeh bazeh, says Rav Asher Weiss. Yes, they didn't care about other people. Hashem can't live with that. And we live in a generation, it's very sad, I only care about myself. It's so difficult, Rabbi Yisrael. It's good for me. Well, I don't care how that's going to affect you. You double park your car because it's good for you, not thinking about the two people you just blocked in and the fact now that the truck can't dent and it's good for me. We have to think in the next few weeks that we have together. How am I going to change? How is my tefillah going to be about other people? The whole, obviously, point of tefillah, I tell this to guys all the time. Tefillah has to be different every day. What are you daven for? should never have a regular tefillah. And Shema Kolenu should be asking for all these different things. You have a friend who, this would be an amazing thing, who's not there yet, or you're not there yet, religiously, you daven for yourself. You have a family member who has some issues they're going through, you daven for them. Make the tefillah so personal. Because you know what that also shows? That shows the ultimate of Ahavta Rech. Advice that's given by great rabbis, if you're sick, daven for somebody else also. So it shows that you're part of something and you care. And that's the yesod of all these together. Unfortunately, a Holocaust, which we certainly didn't want or need, reminds us of that every Jew is equal. And a tragedy, whether it's in Pittsburgh or it's in San Diego, Poway reminds us, B'chol dor v'dor omdim aleinu l'chalosim. Just as Pesach was ending in Chutz La'aretz, I spoke about the last Haftorah that the rabbi was unfortunately couldn't say, but was about to say, speaks about the times of Mashiach and how the Goyim think that they're going to win out, and they don't. Because Hinei Kel Yeshua Sieftach V'lo Efchad. I'm not scared. These great heroes, you heard about them. It's just amazing, and I've seen the interviews in Hebrew with them. He says, yeah, the guy came in. He had magazines on him. Just to kill, he wanted to kill, and he had a camera to take pictures of each one that he killed, so he could post it. And the guy says, I went up to him. Topple him down. And the guy who got shot in the leg said, I just had to take the children. I didn't care if I was going to die. I got to get the children out of here. How many children were there? The day before, as you know, I'm sure, you had the cartoon in the New York Times. It's here, Rabbi Yisrael. And the fact that people don't wake up to this, and it bothers me by no end. Maybe I'm wrong about this, and there's secret things happening. But the great Jewish organizations of the world, hello, that are in America, wake up. What's going on? Why are you not doing anything? Where's the anti-defamation? I didn't see there. What's going on here? Where's the OU and the good and this? What are we banding together and doing? How are we stopping anti-Semitism? It's not just a cute, it was a swastika, big deal. No. This is what the Holocaust happened. How do we make changes? We have to care about it. We have to be like Chabad. Sometimes we need a reminder from a Chabad. And I have so many stories about Chabad I could tell you. I've told the story before, but the one that comes to my mind, I was on the train. We took our family to Tel Aviv. We wanted to do something different on a Friday. Very not smart thing. We said, my little kids have never been on a train before. It's a few years ago. The little kids said, take a train to Tel Aviv. We'll have fun there, hang out there. So on the train back, older kids want to kill me because they're like, train, it was great, Abba, great ride. And there's a Chabad kid, maybe 14, 15 maybe. He's going up and down the train and asking people, do you want to put tefillin on? And I stopped him and I said, Ashrecha, praise you. I said, I was just curious. I said, how's the market, So you'd be shocked how many people want to put on. Tattoos with this. He said, you're so lucky. It's amazing. He says, he looked at me as if he was just walking down the thing. And I said, wow, look at you. You're so lucky you're able to walk. And he's like, oh, yeah, everybody's able to walk. It's like, this is my... He didn't say this is mine. He really should have said, this is our Tafkin in life. All he was doing was asking another Jew if they wanted to do it. He didn't say to them in the afterwards, and now you have to be frum. You see how you put this on today? Well, Shabbos is coming. And you better sell. No. He said, thank you for allowing me to allow you to do another mitzvah. Wow. Because I'm going to come home today. I'm going to say to myself, do we even remotely feel that way? Do we? I just had a great conversation with so-and-so. Wow, I think I actually... I don't think we believe enough in ourselves to believe that that's true. That we could actually make a change. Some of you, unfortunately, might be going to the college campus next year instead of staying Shana Bat. But okay, you might be going to the college campus. And it might not be the more well-known ones for Jewish presence. And you might have great opportunities there. more than some guy sitting in Ramat Beit Shemesh would have. Guy says, what's the thing with the beanie cap? And like, oh no, you're Muslim? He's like, no, I'm actually Jewish. Right? It's amazing, the off-duty Border Patrol guy, Morales, right? Who would think that guy was Jewish, right? It turned out, he found out his mom was Jewish. How'd that happen? Saved everyone. We start our tefillah with V'hafta l'reicha kamocha, because that changes lives. And it's so hard. It's so hard. But that's really what it is accomplished. We'll end this part so that we could maybe put this online. But I have a few other stories for you, but for those that don't want to hear me for another 10 minutes. So we'll stop now, but stay tuned. Just a bracha for everyone. We should be zeicher that if we really take this to heart and we understand that Yom HaShoah is not a day. I just heard a shiur from Rav Yigal Cohen, one of the famous speakers to the Baal Tshuva world, and he said, Yom HaShoah is not what it's called. What do they call it? What's it say? What's Yom HaShoah in English? Holocaust Remembrance Day. It's not. We don't just remember. Judaism is not about remembering. It's not. It's about what action am I taking? In Israel, there's a great minhag, which is a little strange, when a six-year-old kid comes home with a Yahrzeit candle and says, oh, this little boy died in the Holocaust, Abba, we have to light a candle for him. But it's beautiful. They have a barcode you can scan and learn about who they are. And it goes around. All the schools get this. And you're home for the next 24 hours. There's a Yahrzeit candle. And you know about it and you live it. But what am I going to do about it? You say to your child, well, what mitzvah are you doing today? Immediately after, one of the first things that was said, Rabbi Goldstein said, was, okay, now next Shabbos, everybody has to go to shul. What acts are we doing? I don't care if you're Jewish, you said I'm not Jewish. What acts of kindness are we doing to take this darkness? Right? The Baba Shul Rebbe spoke so much about bringing light into the world. That's it. How you bring light in the world. I don't care who you are. Human being. Selam Elokim. Rabbi Akiva is talking about Selam Elokim. It's every human. How you bring that into the world? If we believe in this, we'll be mechaper the sinas chinam. We'll mechaper the sinas chinam of the base of English and of the students of Rabbi Akiva and bring Mishach's Kainu v'Heir v'Yameinu. Amen v'Yameinu.